Hey, you're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. So you're a public radio listener, and I'm willing to bet you know at least a little bit of the music made by my guest today, although you might not know his name. Unless, of course, you listen to Morning Edition, where you hear the name BJ Lederman in the credits. BJ has composed themes for a bunch of public radio programs. I'm going to play you little pieces of some of them right now. Your challenge: see if you can identify which piece of theme music comes from which radio show. Ready? Here we go. This must be what it feels like to host Weekend Edition. Feels good. Did you get that one? Yeah. Before this, you heard the themes to Car Talk's Stump the Chumps, Morning Edition, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and Marketplace, all written by my guest, BJ Lederman. He'll tell us the story of how he used a trick he borrowed from the Beatles to record the original Morning Edition theme back in 1979. We'll play that for you. And BJ even wrote lyrics for the Morning Edition theme. They never made it to air, but he will share them with us today. They're darker and more complex than you might expect. And as I discovered, so is the guy who wrote them. Last month, BJ released a solo album of his own music, not theme music, rock and roll songs that he writes and sings himself. It's called BJ with an exclamation point, and it's been 30 years in the making. BJ, you've called yourself the luckiest composer in the land. What makes you feel so lucky?
Well, I mean, you know, when I was 22 years old, I wrote one thing for NPR. It was Morning Edition, you know, five chords, you know, 12 notes, whatever. And it sort of lasted me 2 years from now, I think. It's going to be their 40th anniversary. And, you know, being asked back to do Weekend Edition and Marketplace and Wait, Don't Tell Me and Stump the Chumps inside Car Talk and Science Friday. That's the last one I did, Science Friday. I mean, I've had more than my 15 minutes, man. I've had much more.
Nearly 40 years, yeah. So take me back to that moment where you first were a student in the late 70s. You're in Washington, you're studying journalism, and at this point you've got a little bit of a side hustle writing jingles. And your friend, right? Is that fair to say?
That's great.
Okay.
It's the first time. Oh, well, I'm going to have fun with you. This is great. Side hustle. It was a side hustle.
Yeah.
I was actually making money then.
So you have this side hustle doing the jingles, and your friend Skip, who's an engineer at NPR, calls you. And what does he say to you?
He says, hey, man, we're doing this new morning news show, and they're in a bind. They need some theme music, and do you want a demo for? I said, sure. And it was, I think it was spring break, and I went home to my parents' house and sat down on my mother's, spinet piano, Baldwin Acrosonic. In fact, the thing that I wrote the Morning Edition. It came out in like 5 minutes. It was just, and you know you've got something when it just comes out like that. But you also know it's pretty simple and that people will be able to hum it. And that piano, by the way, still is sitting in the lobby of my hometown member station, WHRV, in Norfolk, in case anybody wants to go and, you know, bang on it and bother those people.
Or cover the Morning Edition theme. So what mood were you trying to set, or what did you want to evoke when you sat down at the keys to compose that song, the first song that people are going to hear in the morning before their news?
Well, I had very specific instructions from Jim Russell, who was the original producer of the show. He now has a consulting thing where he helps public radio shows, you know, do their thing. He was extremely nice to me, but the deal was back then that all these member stations were coming out of classical programming, and the stations were usually on autopilot, you know, playing classical stuff. And suddenly it's 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. So the prime directive, if you will, was not to shock these people into, you know, contemporary newsdom. So I wrote this faux classical opener that had an oboe in it, and I used the harpsichord patch on my synthesizer, and then we did this thing called a whoosh, and this is when Jay Kernis took over as producer. We actually did a Beatle trick, and we turned the tape upside down in the tape machine and hit record, and this is what the Beatles did sometimes, and I, you know, hit a cymbal with a piano chord. And so when you turn the tape back over the right way, you go from this nice classical business, and it sort of ends, da-da-da, and you hear this whang, and you're into the contemporary piece with the whole band.
Oh, wow.
And it worked. It worked. And we had a French horn, you know, doing the melody. Boy, we hung on to that French horn for decades.
All right, BJ, let's take a listen to that first version of the Morning Edition theme song with the classical, with the whoosh. That's the original, the OG Morning Edition theme song from the show's premiere in 1979, right?
Yeah, if you say so.
Yeah, it was 1979. Did NPR call you and say, you know, we're going to pay you this much to write a theme song, or?
Yes, they called me and said, we're paying you nothing.
Really?
There was a barter system going on back then, you know.
Oh, wow. What was the barter?
The barter was being able to be on... Come on, I was tapped to write a theme for, I was 21, 22 years old in National Public Radio, who, by the way, I've always listened to as a student, you know, is calling me to write a theme song for, you know, not their first show, and people still, you know, mix me up a bit with All Things Considered. They go, oh, BJ, when they meet me, I love your work, and then they'll proceed to whistle.
Oh.
And I'll, you know, I hang my head and close my eyes, and I'll either decide to go along with it, or I'll say, no, you know, Don Vagely wrote that 10 years prior to me.
Right, but we don't hear Don Vagely's name at the end of credits.
No, you know why? Here's why.
Tell me.
Here's why. You know, Jim Russell, Jay Kernis, the early producers, they said, look, we're not paying him much. Let's write in his contract that we have to give him an audio credit. And to this day, I think I'm the only composer in radio that's of a national show from back then that's got an audio credit.
And
it would be nothing if my name was, you know, John Smith. Nobody would say anything, you know, but they come up to me and go, are you the B.J. Lederman? I go, no, I'm the other poor schmuck named B.J. Lederman. Yeah, I'm the B.J. Lederman. I don't think you Google B.J. Lederman. I don't think there's another one. I'm it. So, you know, you name a kid B.J., right?
It stands out.
Yeah, it stands out. I'm B.J. Lederman. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for naming me B.J.
I bet they were proud to hear your name at the end of the credits of something as prestigious as an NPR morning news show.
Yeah, it was something. You know, it's funny. Now that they're gone, when I have a major accomplishment, you know, like this moment now,
yeah.
Talia, I want to call them up and say, hey, Mom and Dad, you know, tune in to World Cafe. I'm on World Cafe. But Mom has a joke that she told me before she died. It's not really a joke. She sits around with her friends playing Mahjong one day, and one of her friends was boasting about her, you know, doctor son who had just did this big operation at the hospital, and the other lady was talking about her lawyer son who had just been signed on to big firm. And my mother puts down her winning hand and goes, well, my son's BJ Lederman. And that put an end to that. You know, the first 20 years of my life, they were pulling their hair out that I was not taking the doctor-lawyer track.
Yeah.
They rue the day that they sat me down in front of the television when the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan. You know, they rue that day, because after that, I was unmanageable. It was all about rock and roll and playing in bands and being a Beatle, you know. Wanted to be John, if it's all the same to you, that is.
So back in the day, when your theme music was first selected for Morning Edition, I read that you wrote lyrics to accompany the instrumental that we hear and know and love. And I have them in front of me, and I'm wondering if you remember them, or if you want me to read them, or if you might sing them for
let's
us if you remember.
Well, let's do a game. Singing. Oh, good Lord. You sure you want to retain your audience? Oh, I hate to get up in the morning. Please don't wake me up this morning. Let me stay in bed and sleep. Da 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 da. The world can turn without me today. And if you wake me up, I can say that we will not be friends for long. Is that it?
Yeah. But would you keep going? There's a bit more.
Let me see. Remember when we used to dream forever. Dreams floating around like feathers.
Uh-huh.
When will those delightful dreams come back again? Tell me when. And I'm over at the other side of the studio now. Oh, do you have more lyrics?
Yeah. Crying out loud.
Damn it, Bob, will you shut the hell up? No news, no features. I've had enough. But say, who wrote your great theme? Oh, I can't believe you got me to sing that at this hour.
Well, thank you for doing it. The lyrics are a little dark, BJ. Like, tell me where that's coming from. The idea that the world can turn without me today, and if you
no, it was just I really love to sleep in.
Okay,
please don't wake me up. When I was a kid, and my mom would try to wake me up to go to high school. I would keep a couple of shoes by my bed and I'd actually throw them at the door. Oh, man. And I'm an only child. I don't know if you know that. And I'll give you another little tip here. I'm the only surviving triplet.
Now, that's wild.
What does that do for you?
Yeah, what does that do?
I don't know if I've told any other interviewer or show. But the deal was it's not like, you know, brother and sister were killed. It happened in vitro. I mean, in utero. Back then, there was no vitro.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they didn't have scanners and stuff and ultrasound, and she didn't know how many was cooking in there. Anyway, so the deal is there were two other life forms with me for a while playing around in that womb of hers, and suddenly they were gone, and I guess that was my first taste of separation anxiety, or is that what it's called?
Sure, yeah, or loss, yeah.
So, funny, over the decades, I have come to identify three distinct personalities. My friends would say there are a lot more in there, but
oh, wow.
There's BJ, there's TJ, and there's PJ, you know, and I just have to, they're so well drawn. And I've actually, you know, listed their traits.
Would you do that?
BJ, the one I call me, is the one who I want to change the world. BJ wants to help move this world in a positive, inclusive, peaceful, and loving direction. And TJ wants to do that, but wants to do away with all the rules, and he's a little more aggressive and and he'll say things and do things that are not caught by his filter. And PJ is the Zen Buddhist who wants to never speak another word, wants to go off into a commune somewhere, a silent retreat, is the part of me that has succeeded so far in the idea of non-attachment. So yeah, these three, I have a paper plate, believe it or not. When I first moved to Asheville about 6 years ago, I drew it, you know, into three separate pie pieces and put BJ in one and drew a little peace sign in that, and I drew TJ in the other and drew a fist raised, you know, power symbol, and then I drew PJ, and that was a sort of just a little prayer meditative type thing. And that's when it all became clear that, man, you is sick.
Do you see it? Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I'm not normal. You know, it all comes down to this moment, basically. When I was 16 years, 8 months old, and that's when we could get our learner's permit and drive with an adult. And I was driving with my father, and we were stopped at a stoplight, ready to turn into Thalia, my neighborhood in Virginia Beach. And he's just looking off into the distance, and he takes a deep breath and says, "It's dog eat dog out there, son." And I looked over at him and I went, "Well, thanks a lot, Dad. Thanks a hell of a lot for putting me here. What were you and Mom thinking?" And ever since then, I just had this very strange and I think accurate and appropriate view, dark, okay? We can insert dark, view of life and the world. You know, I'm not so sure this is what's supposed to be happening here. Neither is Louis C.K. if you watch his latest thing.
Yeah.
If you stream his latest thing. I don't think that humans are supposed to be here. And so there's a lot of material in that.
When did you start working on this album of original solo material?
About 30 years ago, I think. This album has songs on it that I wrote 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. And there's even three songs on there that are instrumentals that I wrote in the 80s.
Wow.
I can't believe you're getting this out of me.
What's taken so long to put these out there under your own name?
I get, you know, my musician friends and my band friends have been asking me the same thing, and my shrinks have been asking me the same thing, and the only thing I can think of is that I'm afraid of success or failure.
Really? You're afraid of succeeding with your first album of solo material?
Here's what happens. Well, you know, I'm losing my mind. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. I buried the lead, L-E-D-E.
Well, give it to me now.
I buried the lead.
Okay.
Lyme disease has been nipping at my nervous system for about 2 decades now. I got this bit by this tick in upstate New York. A few days later, I was almost dead, and I saw the bullseye rash, but I didn't know what it was. So I got better, you know, and I let it go for a few years, so I wasn't treated right away. Anyway, what's happening to me is a pretty frightening little shot of, I call it pre-whatever dementia that's making it very hard sometimes for me to go about my day. But I can still get on the piano, count to four, and beat the hell out of it with a band. So as long as I can do that,
right,
everything will be fine.
Well, so one of the songs that I want to talk about that has a lot of life in it and a lot of life's opposite in it, if you will, is the song Walking Down the Street, which is a really fun romp. But would you tell me what the song is actually about before we have a little listen to it?
You really do your research. You know that? You're killing me. It's based on a guy, me, who loses his girlfriend, and is so broken up about it, he goes to the top of a very tall building and jumps off. And the rest of the song is a slow motion, you know, free fall down the side of the building with me looking into various windows and commenting on what I see. And, oh, here's the ground coming up. You know, I can see my house from here. Did I leave the oven on? You know, it sounds like, but it ends well. So don't worry. It's a funny little song that ends well. And it's just a ditty.
Have you thought about that moment or that idea outside of the context of writing a song called Walking Down the Street?
I'm sorry, I think we've lost the signal.
All right.
Okay.
All right, let's take
no,
a listen.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
No, wait a minute, I'll answer
Is
that.
It back? Okay, thank you. Yeah.
We never lost the signal. I was being BJ.
I know you were. But forgive me if I asked too much with that, but I mean, I just...
No, this is fine. This is... You know, the funny thing is, I don't have an act, Talia. When you see me play, you get what you get. And so my whole musical persona is me. My whole thing is the life of BJ. And so I'll answer that question, and I'll say, you know, I've never admitted to it in front of a therapist. You know, I'm okay. But I can't say from time to time I don't think about what it would be like not to be here.
Thank you for that. I'm just appreciating you being so upfront about something that seems to go hand in hand with artistry a lot.
I appreciate being on a show and being able to be myself and not having it be a bloody commercial, you know?
Yeah.
I promised myself when I started coming out and doing this stuff that I would be me, because that's the only way I'm going to connect with people out there is to be me. So
BJ exclamation mark.
And by the way, BJ's okay. Yeah. BJ is all right. The kids are all right.
All right.
And damn happy to be BJ right now. So go ahead and play that song.
All right, let's hear it. This is BJ Lederman with Walking Down the Street off his debut solo album, BJ! Exclamation mark.
I peek into a window on the 50th floor. A man has got his office girl against the door. He's tugging on her bra. She's ripping on his shirt. When I hit the ground, I wonder, is it gonna hurt? I hope the woman kicks that guy right in the ass. I'd love to stay and watch, but I
That's the song Walking Down the Street off BJ Lederman's debut record, BJ! Exclamation mark. You know his music from Morning Edition. If you've listened to that, it's woken you up every morning. Thank you for being such a lovely guest to have. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure. You're listening to The World Cafe.